U.S. copper prices have fallen to two-year lows, generating concerns about the short-term future when it comes to some technology and manufacturing-related projects. And the Trump administration's on-and-off battle over trade with China, the world's largest user of copper, is increasing uncertainty over the copper market and its impact on the global economy. With me to talk about the broader effects on the world in Arizona is Edward Meir, senior commodities analyst at INTL FC Stone. Edward, let's begin with the global economy. Why do we need to watch copper so closely when it comes to that?
Well, you obviously need to watch it closely if you're a producer because, you know, a lot of these producers are hurting at these price levels given that the cost of production is now within sight for many of them. That's number one. Number two, as you mentioned, the fact that the global economy is slowing down, it's kind of a chicken and egg. You know, the global economy slows down, copper prices go down, and if copper prices go back up, people get a bit more excited. They think activity is picking up. So, you know, we watch both.
How far in advance do you project to determine whether a price drop now will affect whether certain advances, certain progress is made a year from now, less than that?
We look across the gamut, but we don't do like very long-term forecasts. So we look at anywhere from a day out to a month out, and the maximum we look out is about 18 months out. Now, granted, some of the mining companies, they have to submit 5-year forecasts, 10-year forecasts, you know, so they need to look much further out. But I don't feel very comfortable looking that far out because it's hard enough knowing what's going to happen in a week, let alone 10 years out.
So considering how much of a user of copper China has been and how important that has been to driving the market, what is your take on the back and forth between the Trump administration and China as far as trade goes? How has that affected copper? How could that affect copper?
Sure, that's the million-dollar question, and that's the most relevant right now for a lot of markets. Unfortunately, this trade spat, if you can call it that, is not good for copper. It's not good for a number of other commodities because basically what it does is it freezes corporate investment in place. So in other words, companies that want to expand overseas or come into the U.S. or establish operations elsewhere outside of the U.S. to export into the U.S., all of these plans are kind of on hold because no one knows what the tariff situation will be. We saw what happened. You know, China is being hit with tariffs, so the cost of washing machines, appliances, washers, whatever it is, dryers, all go up for the U.S. consumer. On the flip side, China imposes tariffs on U.S. farm goods. So basically, costs rise across the globe, and as they rise, consumer spending suffers. So it's a net-net negative for the global economy, and it's a very hard policy to implement because it's practically impossible to police all these global supply chains and levy tariffs on cars or on products because there are just so many components made in different markets that you can't really isolate which one is Chinese, which one is Mexican, et cetera, et cetera. So the whole thing becomes a game of whack-a-mole. You know, you impose tariffs on the Chinese, they establish operations in Vietnam, they export from Vietnam to us. President Trump could hit Vietnam one day. What happens to those companies that are there? They have to go to somewhere else, Mexico. A lot did go to Mexico, in fact, and the Mexicans got a scare when they were almost going to be tariffed.
Stay in the global vein for a second. When you mentioned Mexico and Vietnam, it makes me want to ask you, considering how China had dominated so much and dominates in many ways, but when it comes to copper in particular, are there other nations you're looking at that could drive the copper market in years to come?
Absolutely not. Copper, the Chinese consume about 50% of the global copper market. That's about 10 million tons out of a roughly 20 million ton market. I would go to a lot of conferences and everybody would come and say, well, India is the next China. India is growing at, I don't know, 7-8%. So I went back, I looked at Indian copper consumption. You know what it is? It's something like 700,000 tons.
Wow.
China is 10 million.
Okay.
So there is, you know, nobody even comes close. They're such a dominant player that it's going to take years for anyone to approach them, which is all the more important to get all these issues sorted one way or the other.
So one fairly local Arizona question for you then. When it comes to Freeport-McMoRan, when it comes to ASARCO, Resolution Copper, what can these companies make of this then, knowing that what has been certainly their biggest client, whether it's tariffs or other things, how can they remain to a point of feeling like they're moving in the positive direction, which they want and which their shareholders want?
Sure. You know, I feel for them. It's not easy. You know, as prices drop, their margins remain under pressure. Freeport, in fact, announced earnings. They weren't very good. But unfortunately, they can't do anything. They can't turn off production. You just can't close a mine. You know, you can't turn the key off and go home. The mines need to keep producing. So what these mining companies have to do is they have to try to lower their break-even costs as much as they can, you know, whether it's technological improvements, whether it's different mining technologies. I know Rio and Freeport are both working on novel types of mining to hopefully lower the costs. They try to stay relevant. They try to lower their break-even as best they can while hoping that eventually the market will bail them out once prices recover. So the name of the game is to stay solvent, to stay focused, to watch costs very closely like a hawk, and then hope that the intrinsic fundamentals of copper will come to play and elevate prices and hopefully get these companies out of the jam they're in right now.
Edward Meir is a senior commodities analyst at INTL FC Stone.